We are continuing this morning on our jump through through Genesis. We're hitting a bunch of places in the throughout the book of Genesis. Last week, if you are able to tune in online, we met. Who did we meet? Who remembers who we met? We gave him some nicknames. Harry and Sneaky, right? We met Harry and Sneaky, the twin boys of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau, who's the older, whose name Esau sounds like the word for hair, and his younger brother, by just a few seconds, Jacob, whose name means something like heel grabber. If you remember, he came out grabbing the heel of his older brother, and heel grabber is also a euphemism for being tricky or being sneaky. And these two brothers, they had not gotten along since before they were born. I understand from talking with several of you over this week that sparked some discussions in some families over who were the Esaus and the Jacobs, who were the Harrys and the Sneakies in the family. And we ended last week with Jacob, who had just gotten Esau to sell his birthright to him for a bowl of stew. And in between last week and this week's passage, this has only gotten worse. Jacob and his mom, Rebekah, have conspired to deceive Isaac. Jacob's father, Isaac, who's also Rebekah's husband, they tricked him into pronouncing Esau's blessing as the firstborn onto Jacob, the younger. The blessing being that he would be lord over his brothers. Isaac meant this for Esau, but he's tricked into pronouncing it on Jacob. And so, long story short, what God said would happen, if you remember back last week to what God said to Rebekah when she was pregnant with Esau and Jacob, what God had said would happen did end up happening. The blessing of the older brother gets pronounced upon the younger. But make no mistake about this, all of the sneaking and lying and cheating and deceiving that went about to make that happen, it still has its consequences. And so, long story, not quite as short. Esau, as you might imagine, is none too happy with Jacob over this turn of events. And so Jacob ends up having to flee for his very life. Esau is out to kill him. And so off he goes, like a fugitive on the lam. He gets out of town. He just runs. And so that brings us to today's passage in Genesis 28, beginning in verse 10. So let's pray as we go to God's word this morning. Lord, as your scripture is read and your word proclaimed, Lord, we ask that you would be with us here in this place. Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Genesis 28, beginning with verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place. Now, the word came there doesn't just mean to happen upon or to walk to. The word there, it's a very unique word, and it actually means to fall upon, to fall against, to stumble into. So he came, he stumbled into a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. Now, there he is on the run from Beersheba, heading towards Haran. This is a trip of about 550 miles. We're talking over a month of traveling here. And somewhere in the middle of this, having left the place of his past behind, but not yet arriving at the place of his future, he stops at some middle of nowhere non-place, somewhere in between, and neither here nor there, he stops and he goes to sleep for the night with a rock for his pillow. And it's there, as he's sleeping with nothing but a rock for comfort, a stone under his head in this nowhere in between non-place, that he has a dream. Verse 12. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Our English translation here ignores a word that shows up in the original Hebrew. It just ignores it. Though if we were reading something like the King James Version, this word would be here. It's that great old-time word, behold. Behold. I guess because we don't talk like that. When was the last time you were at the grocery store and said, behold, bread? We don't talk like that. So the modern translators often leave it out to try to make the flow something that we recognize better. But three times this word, this interjection, behold, pay attention, look, see, three times in just these two verses, the sense of this dream showing up here given to Jacob is a very urgent, stunning, breathlessly overpowering thing that he's seeing. He dreamed, behold, right there, a ladder. Or rather, something probably more like a stepped ramp, joining earth and heaven. And oh, see, look, angels, messengers of God going up and down, and look. And maybe if instead of reading the New Revised Standard Version, we were reading the New England Version, it would say something like, wicked awesome, it's the Lord himself right there with you. Continues on, and the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel. Bethel, by the way, means house of God. And this, family, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Between the home he's run from and the city he's trying to get to, Jacob finds himself. He's stumbled his way to somewhere neither here nor there, just somewhere in between. Not the place he knows and looks back on, and not the place he's hoping for, but caught somewhere in between, stumbled his way to neither here nor there, with a rock or a pillow. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that? Maybe geographically, but maybe spiritually or emotionally. I think in one way or another, this is the place that we are all in right now. I think about school, work, church, life, thinking of us here this morning or joining at home online, caught between looking back and looking forward, stuck in this in-between non-place, not where we were, but certainly not yet the place we're hoping for either. And we've maybe got in the meantime is this level of discomfort with everything, a rock for a pillow. And it's there that Jacob, the schemer, the trickster, this guy that is too much of a planner, trying so much to control his destiny no matter what it takes or who he hurts, it's there that he encounters God. But it's not in the control of his wakeful security, is it? It's in the vulnerability of sleep. That's when God comes to him. He sees in his dream this place where earth, heaven are connected. They're joined. Messengers of God make their way up and down, coming and going. Earth and heaven, not so far apart, it seems. Turns out, Jacob's not alone, even in this in-between, neither here nor there place, or rather non-place. And then there beside him, the Lord himself, not just the messengers, but the Lord himself. Turns out, Jacob is really not alone, is he? I am the Lord, God says to him. the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the one who has been at work this whole time. And then the Lord goes on and reiterates the same covenant that has been proclaimed since God called to Abraham all those years ago about land and blessing and all the families of the earth. He's talking about us being blessed through them. And know, the Lord says, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to the land. Right there is God's promised presence with Jacob, with him and for him. And that this nowhere, stuck neither here nor there, in between place, is not the end of his journey. I will bring you back. I will bring you home, God says. I have a plan for you. So Jacob wakes up and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I couldn't see it. As it turns out, even nowhere in between, neither here nor there, non-places, actually become places when God is involved. And so Jacob takes the stone that was his pillow. He has a little liturgy there with some oil. He anoints the stone to remind himself to be a marker for others. And says, this place is Bethel, the house of God. It turns out, even nowhere in between, neither here nor there, between everything, non-places can become places of holy and sacred encounters and reminders of God's presence and provision and promises. When Rachel and I were dating, we belonged to a church that was a relatively new church. It was a church plant. And at that time, it didn't have its own building. It met in a school. It met in a middle school. If that wasn't enough, it met in the middle school gym. And not just any middle school gym. And in case you are wondering, yes, even on Sunday mornings, middle school gyms smell exactly like you remember them smelling like. But this wasn't just any old middle school gym. This was the gym of the very same middle school that I went to, 6th through 8th grade. And those middle school years, right? They really are those kind of in-between, neither here nor there, years of life, aren't they? You're not a kid, you're not a child. But you're not an adult yet. In middle school, probably in large part because of that, middle school, at least in my experience, is hard. It is tough. It's where I just wanted to be anywhere but there, right? The stone pillow of my school career, you might say, was middle school. Middle school was not a good 3 years of my life. Yet, as I discovered, years later, even though it looked the same, it smelled the same, it brought back a lot of those memories I had been trying to forget for so long. Then I discovered years later that very same anywhere but there place can be, as it turns out, it can be a place of worship, encountering God, and spiritual growth. Sometimes it's the places we'd never expect, isn't it? We are here this morning. We're back at church, sort of. We're not in the church. Normally we're looking out of those windows. We're outside. And there's not as many of us able to be here. There are friends and sisters and brothers of ours that can't be here this morning. We've got masks on. We're sitting far apart. We're not able to do everything that we'd like to do. We can't sing together. And we're also continuing to worship online in our own homes, on our computers, because we can't be at the place that we want to be at. And we might be tempted to say that we're just stuck for the time being in some nowhere, neither here nor there, in-between place, with a rock for a pillow. But if we get anything from Jacob's experience here, it is this. We dare not confuse the places that we say God is and God is not. The places we think God can and cannot show up. We dare not confuse that with the places that God loves to be and loves to show up and surprise us all. Perhaps in this neither here nor there in between time in which we find ourselves right now, when we'd like nothing more to somehow, some way, anyway, just get back to where we were and the way things were, or hurry up and just get on through this to the end of this strange and difficult journey and finally figure out the way things are going to be so we can settle in to figure church out, for example, or school, to get our holy and sacred places back to the way we want and like them. But perhaps like Jacob, but for this dream, this vision that God gave him, perhaps we are in danger of at some point in the future looking back on this time and this place, even in all its strangeness and its in-betweenness, and its neither here nor there-ness, and saying, well, it turned out God was there. We missed it. We didn't see it. We were too busy running or planning or whatever it is, trying to get back or get somewhere else. But if that danger is a possibility, then this here, this time and this place in which we find ourselves, it is also a chance, an opportunity to see that God is present and that God's promises are sure and certain. And in a way that it can even become a marker. This time and this place can become a marker, a monument for us to look back on, and who knows how many others down through the years, that proclaims the presence of God in a very particular, very unique, and very, very powerful way. Many generations before this, with Jacob, 17 chapters ago in Genesis, the people tried to climb their way to God by building a special place. You may remember that, a tower, the Tower of Babel. Probably more of what they call a ziggurat, I think is what they how you pronounce that, right? Those ramped, steep, temple-like buildings. Building that as a special place, trying to make a sacred and holy place made so that we could climb our way to God. Tower of Babel, right? Well, that didn't turn out so well. But now, all these years later, there in the middle of nowhere, Jacob is shown this dream, and he sees the same type of thing. There it is, connecting earth with the heavens, and the angels, the messengers of God, are there going up and coming down, coming and going, only this time, it's God's, not ours. It turns out that it's never us, not even our best intentions that make an encounter with God or make a sacred place so that we can climb our way to God. But it's always God's presence that shows up and makes something holy and sacred. And countless generations after Jacob, somebody else, another person with another very interesting birth story shows up in another insignificant, virtually nowhere in between time and place. Jacob had dreamed of the coming and going and this connection between earth and heaven and realized that the Lord was there even though he did not know it. And countless generations later, Jesus shows up. Emmanuel, God with us there in the flesh, fully human, fully divine, the one in whom all the comings and goings of heaven and earth are bound up together. The one whose very touch, whose very presence makes things holy, sacred. It turns out that grace means, that Jesus means, that it's God that always shows up to us, that always shows up with us and for us, even places like this, even those of us who seem to keep stumbling our way into those neither here nor there and everywhere in between times and places. Into those places that, let's be real here, may on the surface seem as unholy as a middle school gym. And grace means, Jesus means, those are the places, those are the times that can turn out to be the very time and place that proclaims God's presence and the very promise of the gospel, the good news. God with us. Louder even than any other. As we consider this in-between time, this neither here nor there place, perhaps, like Jacob, perhaps we are living in just such a time.